From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where we are down to the final 15 days of this year's legislative session. Those are 15 working days for the state legislature that will stretch over into mid-April. But this past week was one of the most important debates of the entire session. The one constitutional requirement of the legislature, which is to pass a budget. And this week was the budget debate that our senators have been working on and looking towards all year, and it finally boiled over. And keep in mind, this is nearly a $9 billion budget for the entire state, all of our agencies and government. And what took center stage for the entirety of the debate was abortion and a fight over $2 million of Title X funding, which is a federal grant program for health clinics to use towards preventative and family planning services. This year's major pro-life initiative, which started as language that Governor Ricketts put in his budget recommendations, was to change how the state of Nebraska distributes that Title X money to make sure that any clinic who is getting those taxpayer funds is not also engaging in the abortion industry. It requires basic accountability and separation in the Title X program so that no clinic who is performing or assisting with, counseling in favor of, or referring for abortions can get those tax dollars unless they are financially and legally and physically separating their Title X services and their abortion services. This is common sense policy. Americans, and particularly Nebraskans, agree. If you look at polling, Americans strongly oppose taxpayer funding of abortion clinics. Whether people are pro-life or pro-choice, they don't think it's appropriate for our representatives to force taxpayers to fund abortion providers. And this is happening in Nebraska. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is the number one recipient of Title X money. And they are also the number one abortion provider in the entire country and here in Nebraska. And here's why this matters. This whole issue matters, obviously, for a number of very important reasons, but specifically the need for this change. Why do we need to require separation? Right now, all of the money just goes into one pot, the abortion provider. And abortion proponents love to talk about how federal law prohibits tax dollars from being used for abortion. They cannot use taxpayer money to perform an abortion. But we also know that money is fungible. Not only is money fungible, but we also don't have to wonder if our tax dollars are being inappropriately used to fund abortions or abortion-related services, or if it might happen in the future. It already has here in Nebraska. A statewide audit report in 2015 and 2016 revealed that Title X money, tax dollars, had been inappropriately used by Planned Parenthood of the Heartland for abortion-related services. This was in a state auditor's report and confirmed by Nebraska's Department of Health and Human Services. So we know it's happening. And that should infuriate and offend a lot of people to think that our tax dollars are being given away by our state to abortion providers. And then they are using those funds directly for abortion-related services. We've spent a lot of time talking about this issue on the show, and we can get really far down into the weeds on the policy and the program and how it works and what it does. But the fact is, this is all very simple. It comes down to a fundamental question. Should the government be taking people's money without their consent and subsidizing abortion? The answer to that question is also very simple. No, they should not. The majority of people know that. And thankfully, we're happy to report that the majority of our state senators knew that, and they advanced this language despite multiple attempts to strike it, take it out, and change it, weaken it. It advanced. It'll have to go through two more stages, but at about 9:30 p.m., last Tuesday evening, after 6 hours of debate, senators got the 33 required votes to end debate, overcome the filibuster, and then voted 38-6 to advance the budget bill, which included this change to the Title X program to second round debate. All legislation has to go through three rounds, so this next round of debate will be coming up this week. So it'll be coming back up again soon. But I got to be at the Capitol last week the whole time this was going on, keeping an eye on things and talking to senators and making sure that this language got advanced to the next round. But it was so encouraging. I heard some of the best, just solid pro-life speeches for multiple state senators in years. And it was so inspiring to see senator after senator after senator standing up and getting on the mic and talking about why they're pro-life, why this matters, why they know it is wrong to keep giving taxpayer money to abortion providers, and talk about why this is good policy. And we haven't seen that in recent years, but a lot of pro-life senators really stepped up to the plate. Senator Mike Hilgers of Lincoln probably spoke on the mic more than anybody else, and he did a phenomenal job of defending the language and answering questions. And we heard from a lot of conservative female senators who talked about why they are pro-life and what it really means to be a strong woman. Senator Geist of Lincoln, Senator Linehan, Senator Thibodeau, Senator Albright, and Senator Brosh all spoke in support of this pro-life provision, and it made a big difference right out of the gate. It helped really set the tone and control the narrative on the floor. And after spending all day debating the budget, after weeks of committee hearings and crafting what the budget will look like, the legislature did advance the budget to the next round. And again, that will be coming up again this week, where it will have to pass onto final reading. So senators still have time to make changes, to make adjustments, and importantly, you still have time to contact your state senator and encourage them to keep the Title X provision in the state budget bill. And we have all of that information compiled at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's right on the homepage. You can find out all about Title X, the pro-life initiative, and how you can contact your state senator and ask them to stand for life and make sure that we end taxpayer subsidies of abortion clinics in Nebraska. The pressure will only be mounting on senators to stand down and remove this language, so they do need to hear from you. This is such a critical opportunity for Nebraskans to stand up for our pro-life values and communicate those values to the people who are representing us, the people in the halls of the state capitol and in our legislature voting on these issues. And if this pro-life Title X provision goes all the way through to completion, it will be one of the most significant pro-life victories that we have had in Nebraska in years. We will have the latest update on this next week on the show, of course. But in the meantime, you can follow along at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, or also be sure to like Nebraska Family Alliance on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can get all of these timely and important updates on what's happening at the state capitol. And join the movement to stand for family, freedom, and life in our state. State lawmakers also fell two votes short of cutting off debate and advancing a bill to require the state to collect online sales taxes. This was LB 44, introduced by Senator Dan Watermeyer of Syracuse. The bill would have required online retailers to provide Nebraska consumers with a year-end summary of their purchases, which would then help consumers have an easier time paying the sales that they owe to the state on those purchases. And the bill would have also required then retailers to report their total Nebraska sales to state officials. But as we know, it is hard to get 33 votes on anything. That's what it takes to overcome a filibuster and debate and advance a bill. And that bill came up a couple votes short, as did another piece of legislation that had gotten a lot of attention recently, which would have required counties to assign attorneys to all Nebraska juvenile cases. This is something that's currently being done by Douglas and Lancaster counties, as well as the judicial district that covers Starkey, Cass, and Odo counties. LB 158 would have assigned defense attorneys to all juvenile cases in Nebraska. Senator Mike Groney of North Platte led the opposition to this bill, calling it a lawyer employment bill and expressing concerns that it would cost counties too much money to carry this out. The sponsor of the bill, Senator Pansingbrooks of Lincoln, said it would protect constitutional rights that have been extended to all people in the state, including children, by ensuring that all juveniles have at least the opportunity to have access to legal counsel, regardless of where they live in the state. Lawmakers also advanced a bill to reduce job licensing rules. LB 299 advanced with 31 votes and no one opposing it after it was rescheduled for debate last week after previously being pulled after not having enough support on the floor. Bill sponsor Laura Ebke of Crete said the bill would mandate reviews of all job licensing requirements every 5 years, which would reduce barriers to employment and promote market competition. The bill was able to advance after revisions were made and support was garnered from senators who had previously opposed the bill over concerns about impact on healthcare professions. This measure comes as really a part of a national trend that we're seeing across the country to reduce licensing requirements, which have drastically risen over the years, and ensure that we aren't putting up barriers that make it too difficult for well-qualified people to find employment and get jobs and into a good field or industry. And I think that we're likely to continue to see more legislation like this in the years ahead. If you could pick just two notable Nebraskans from throughout history to represent our state at the United States Capitol, who would you choose? That's the question that will be presented to our Nebraska legislature, as they will have the opportunity to debate a plan to change the two statues that Nebraska, like every other state, has in the United States Capitol. Currently, the two Nebraska statues are of J. Sterling Morton, an early Nebraska governor and the father of Arbor Day, and William Jennings Bryan, the three-time presidential candidate and former U.S. Secretary of State. And under a bill that has been made a priority designation by the State Tribal Relations Committee, meaning it will be placed on the agenda for debate by the full legislature, would replace and return these two existing statues from Statutory Hall in our United States Capitol with new statues. And what the Government, Military, and Veteran Affairs Committee advanced to the full body in their bill would change those two statues, J. Sterling Morton and William Jennings Bryan, and replace them with new statues of Willa Cather and Chief Standing Bear. The bill, LB 807, by Omaha Senator Burke Haar and amended by Senator Tom Brewer of Gordon to include Chief Standing Bear, would allow for the recall of these two statues installed in the United States Capitol in 1937 and replace them with Nebraska's most famous author, Willa Cather, as well as the famous Ponca chief who became a landmark civil rights leader, as he was the first Native American in history to be recognized as a person by the United States government after a 1879 federal court case that took place in Omaha. And this is important to note that both Senators Haar and Brewer said that no state funds would be needed to complete the project. It will be carried out through private funding. And this is sure to stir up some debate, and it will be really interesting to see what state senators think about this as a body, if they think it's appropriate to update or replace these statues with different Nebraskans, or if it should remain as is. Again, our state legislature's government committee advanced this bill unanimously. It has been made a priority designation, and we don't know exactly when the bill will be debated yet, but it appears likely before the session is over, senators will take this up. So if you're someone who is passionate about Nebraska history or who we have representing Nebraska in Statutory Hall in the United States Capitol, be sure to contact your state senator and let them know your thoughts. That's what's happening in your Nebraska Capitol. And now turning to the national level, what I was really hoping to be able to talk about this week was probably the best thing I saw this past week, other than our state legislature advancing a pro-life budget provision to take taxpayer money away from abortion providers. Our very own United States Senator Ben Sasse wrote a very lengthy, heartfelt, emotional, but extremely important Facebook post celebrating the dignity of human life and particularly those who have Down syndrome. And if you haven't seen this post from Senator Ben Sasse, again, it's on his Facebook page and it's worth reading, so much so that I decided I wanted to take the time to actually read what Senator Sasse wrote in its entirety because people fill the airwaves with all sorts of things. And, I can get on the show and talk about a number of different things, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, you know, this is really as important as it gets, what Senator Sasse shares, and it deserves to be shared again widely. And I think this is really important because more and more we're seeing that our society is taking on this mentality of adopting a throwaway culture where those who look a little different or have a disorder can just be thrown away. And we're seeing that in Europe, where in Iceland and Denmark, these countries are bragging about eliminating Down syndrome through abortion. These remarks from Senator Sasse come on the heels of an op-ed that ran in the Washington Post, which basically argued that we need abortion and we have to have abortion because we have Down syndrome. And it's because of those really detestable and inhumane viewpoints of those who think every baby who is diagnosed or who we think might have Down syndrome should just be terminated. It's because of that that what Senator Sasse shares is more important than ever. And I wish more people who were in positions of authority and influence like Senator Sasse would speak out on this issue more regularly. And so because Senator Sasse had the courage and resolve to do that. So here is what Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse wrote last week. And again, this is available on his Facebook page. Senator Sasse titles this piece, Celebrating Dignity. And he writes, "For the past couple weeks, and especially this weekend, I have thought of this little guy, Lucas, Gerber's famous spokesbaby for 2018. He's all the things we know and love about babies. Sweetness, joy, and undeniable cuteness. But Lucas is something more. A vivid picture of the dignity of all human beings. Lucas is an adorable baby, and Lucas has Down syndrome. Lucas's dignity is inherent, given by God, and it stays with him past the cute, cuddly phase of babyhood. The truth of who he is stands in stark contrast with some of the news we see coming out of Europe lately. In Iceland and in Denmark, there are actually groups that brag, we're closer to getting 100% than anybody else. We're going to be first to be 100% Down syndrome free. Sadly, they're not talking about a near miraculous scientific breakthrough. They're crowing about eliminating these babies before they're born because it's now possible to screen for Down syndrome at such an early age. In France, there's actually a movement to make it illegal to show an ad featuring a Down syndrome baby who has become a happy and healthy Down syndrome kid because it might move people to compassion. The contrast between the values displayed across Nebraska and those being bragged about in Europe is hard to stomach. Consider Kyle Korsinski. He plays basketball for Ashland Greenwood High. Kyle has Down syndrome. With seconds left in a recent game, Kyle came onto the court, and his team designed a play for him to take the final shot. He missed. but opposing players grabbed the rebound and threw it right back to him until he hit the shot. No one had to ask them to offer this kindness. This acknowledgement of Kyle's dignity, they just knew to do it, and they celebrated with Kyle and with his teammates. In West Point, the Harlem Globetrotters were moved to send a teammate 1,000 miles across the country to honor James Meyergaard, now internet famous for a behind-the-back half-court shot which he made twice. James has Down syndrome, but the Globetrotters didn't send a guy to James' school just because the shot was epic, though it was. He was there to celebrate James' humanity with family and community, his obstacles and his triumphs. And just a few weeks ago, a Ralston High School wrestler noticed that a young man on the Seward team, Grant Fellhafer, was wearing a singlet, but was not competing in the district tournament. Grant has Down syndrome. The young man approached Grant and his coach and asked if Grant would like to wrestle. With a referee on the mat, cheerleader shouting, and the crowd going wild, Grant pinned his opponent and had his arm lifted in victory in the impromptu exhibition match. That picture is everything that's right about high school sports. Read these stories, then check your local newscasts and newspapers for more. I promise you'll find them. Why? Because good stories highlight great people, and anyone who has spent time with these kids knows they are some of the most loving, most joyful, most caring people in our communities, and that's something to celebrate. The celebration and acknowledgement of these young people is encouraging, especially in sharp contrast to places around the world where all babies are not valued in every form as being created in the image of God. That's why we hold on so tightly to these simple but powerful stories of human dignity that remind us to look for the beauty and value in others, regardless of our differences. Grant's mom put it so well when she said that on that day, her son was seen for who he is, a wrestler. His dignity as a person was lifted in victory, far above any of the differences in his abilities or attributes. Dignity matters. Love matters. To Lucas, Kyle, James, Grant, and to all of us. Those are important, timely words from Senator Sass. And again, you can read those remarks on his Facebook page. And I think it's so important that we highlight that and remember to celebrate our shared human dignity. And it's of great encouragement to me, and I'm sure many others, to know that we have a United States Senator representing us in Washington who has that deep understanding of what human dignity really means and what it looks like despite differences between us, and that our rights do come from God, including the most fundamental right, the right to life, and that is a right that we have to continue to stand for and represent and be a voice for those who can't be a voice for themselves. So lastly, we're closing out the program today with an important reminder to be in prayer this week on Tuesday, March 20th. The United States Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments on an incredibly important Supreme Court case that is involving both the issues of life and free speech. This is the case that started in California, where they passed a law targeting pro-life California pregnancy centers that forces them to contradict their pro-life mission by requiring them to advertise for the abortion industry, even in their own buildings. Thankfully, our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are representing these pro-life pregnancy centers, the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, before the Supreme Court. And this California law in question, again, specifically targets pro-life pregnancy centers. And under this law, pregnancy centers face steep financial penalties if they don't comply. How the Supreme Court rules in this case could have major implications for free speech in the entire country. Pregnancy resource centers are an incredible resource for our communities, providing hope and help to women who are facing an unplanned pregnancy, and importantly, giving them the truth and helping them choose life for their baby. And the government should never force anyone to speak a message with which they disagree. And certainly this must include our pro-life pregnancy center. So please continue to be in prayer for them as they head to the Supreme Court this Tuesday. And we will keep you updated as we learn more and find out what we can expect from this historic ruling. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.